It wasn't what I had planned to share with you, but Lily and I got to tag team. And so Lily got to pick the, what did I do with my glasses, baby? Oh, okay, thank you. Now, see, it's my first time. So I'm excited that you're here. This is a new, I'm going to call it a sermon. I'm not convinced it's a series yet. We'll see how it goes, okay? But what we're talking about today is right now Jesus' favor. And I want to tell you the emphasis in Scripture is right now. Today, 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 today. That's the emphasis. I know he's the God of the past. What he's done on the cross in the past is for right now. In the past, he's covered our past with his blood. I know he's the God of the future. The emphasis of Scripture is for us not to even look toward death, but to look toward his coming. And I want to tell you, he's the God of our future. He's already in our future. Isn't it great news for you that Jesus is already in your tomorrow? And he's placing those grace blessings, those favored blessings on your journey, in your tomorrow. Already. For you to discover in him. That's exciting. But the main emphasis of Scripture is Jesus in the right now. And I'm telling you, he's right now favored. You say, well, I'm here with all God. Well, okay, it's all right. Because I want to tell you, Jesus loves to touch the right now in your life. He's always right now, very present in time of trouble. That's your God. Okay? And I want to tell you, he's available. You can receive. Now, I'm going to start out by talking about blockages. Because blockages are dangerous. I had... A number of years ago, I was having trouble mowing the yard. We didn't have the zero-turn mower at that time. I was mowing it with the Honda. I was pushing it. Or it was kind of pulling me is what really happened. But I got to a place where it was taking me about 3 days to get the yard done. I would mow for a little bit and I have to take a break. Have to practice breathing. And... ever since dengue fever, they kind of keep an eye on my organs and stuff. I don't use dengue fever as an excuse. Because Jesus is the restoration in my life. Okay? Something in your past doesn't have to curse your future because of what Jesus is. And so I don't use that as an excuse. I want you to understand. But I was having a little trouble breathing. And man, just the energy flow. I was having to sit down more. It didn't keep me from doing my responsibility. It just took me longer. But it was time to go see the carburetor doctor. And so I went to see the carburetor doctor, and they put me through all kind of tests every year. That's okay. I told the leadership team this morning, tell them, bring on the test. Because it's going to either confirm what I'm believing for or what I'm fighting, or it's going to confirm what Jesus has already done. We don't have to fear tests. You can tell them, bring them on. Our faith in Dr. Jesus, okay? And so, you know, I told them, bring him on, and they did, and they got kind of excited. They said, we got to get you to the hospital. And I said, well, that's not in my timetable today. All right, this is all I can allow. They said, we got to get you in there soon. I'm telling you, real soon. And so they did. I discussed with my wife, am I going to walk this out by faith? And she encouraged me, you know, the Lord can speak through your mate. Amen. And she encouraged me, let's just go see what they have to say. And man, the next thing I know, they got me on the table. And they're working on me in the table. And they said this, we're doing surgery on you real, real quick. And they did, and it didn't work. And they come back and said, hey, you got a complete blockage. And it's the Widowmaker. They said, Widowmaker always gets its victim quick. We don't understand why you're walking around. And so they sent me to the state champion. Since they couldn't do it, they sent me to the state champion at Plano Heart Hospital. I recommend that. And the state champion took a good look, and he said, look, he said, we're making a recording of this because your heart actually grew an artery around the Widowmaker to keep you alive. And he said, there's a complete blockage. Widowmaker always gets its victim. Most of the time, it's immediate. Most of the time, a widowmaker, first thing they know, you bounce on the floor. And so he said, somebody up there really, really likes you because we don't see this. I said, look, I know why I'm here. Here's my witness right here. I know why I'm here. He doesn't just like me, he loves me, and I'm one of his favorites. Now, that's not being Mr. Ego. That's just saying what the Word says. Because all of us have His grace, and grace means favor. And so the bottom line, when they got me on the table pretty quick, and this surgeon comes in talking to me, and I said, she said, hey, you know, I'm your surgeon here. I said, no, I get the state champion. I saw him already this morning. She said, no, you get two surgeons at the same time. And let me announce, we're going up both directions, and we're going to meet. She said, this is rare because we don't do this. She said, but we're both going to try at the same time. And if this don't work, we're splitting you wide open. I said, help yourself. Okay. And I want to tell you, it worked, you know, it's all good. But you know, my life was a little different after the blockage. Yeah. I could breathe better, had more stamina. I want to tell you, my life worked better after a blockage was removed. And I want to tell you, this is what happens. Blockages cause major physical problems. If you have a blockage in the carburetor, it's called a heart attack. If you have a blockage in the brain, it's called a... There you go. It's a brain attack. Okay. A blockage in the leg, that's serious too. Blockage in the urinary tract, that's serious. Blockage in the colon. My wife won't let me discuss that. I know some things about that. But I want to tell you something. Wait. How about a blockage in the emotions? That's serious. I'm just announcing to you, we can have blockages in our soul. Anger, fear, anxiety, bitterness, hurt, wounding, brokenheartedness. Now, good news. Dr. Jesus said that He's come to bind up the brokenhearted. Hey, if your heart's been broken, Jesus can heal your heart. Amen. We love praying for people. We're going to pray for people today, right after the message is over with, after the service is over with. We want to pray for you. But I'm here to tell you this. Listen to me. If you've had a blockage in your soul, Jesus come to set free those who have been made captive by memories, by wounds, blockages. He can break the strongholds. He can set you free. He can do what no counselor can. He can do what no physical doctor can. He's come to set us free. That's your Jesus. And that's what He loves to do. Now, if you have a blockage in your soul, just like Papa T trying to mow the yard, taking 3 days to do it. And by the way, one of the surgeons said, you know, I asked him if he was in pain, and he said no. He said, he's lying. He said, there's no way you can have 100% blockage and not be in pain. I announced to him, your definition is different than mine. There's a difference between discomfort and pain. A lot of people don't know that, but there is. And so I'm announcing to you that, you know what, if you have a blockage in your soul, listen to me, your walk is weak. You're more aware of weakness than you are of strength. You're more aware of disturbance than you are peace. You're more aware of confusion than you are direction. You don't have your sense of purpose. I want to tell you, your life is going in the direction of your dominant thought. If the dominant thought is sickness, that's where you're going. If your dominant thought is wounding or hurt, that's where you're going. If your dominant thought is Jesus and the Word, that's where you're going. And so I'm announcing to you, it's not complicated. Of course, the Lord talks to me simple. I try to talk to you simple. I don't go any deeper. But I want to tell you, it's very, very important today that if you understand there's a blockage in your soul, it keeps you from receiving. Wait, God's still giving. He's still sending love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. But you're not aware of it because you're not receiving it. A blockage can hinder. Now, listen, it's a lie because a blockage is weak compared to Jesus. But we've got to submit and yield that blockage to Jesus for Dr. Jesus to remove it. So I'm announcing to you today, submit to Jesus today with open hands. You got to let go. Drop it. One of the descriptions of forgiveness is letting go. You got to let go, open hands, open mind. Where you take that thought pattern that's been dominating your life, that's bringing death, and you surrender it to Jesus. Open hand, open mind, and open heart. Where Jesus becomes the Lord of your life today. Not yourself. I'm telling you, the biggest hindrance to your walk with God is who you see in the mirror. You say, well, it's old devil. No, I'm telling you, we help him out way too much. And so I'm just wanting to help you today. You can walk out of here freer than you walked in. Has it been weeks? Has it been months? Has it been years? Whatever the time period is, even if it's just been days, and sometimes it may be years, it may be decades, I'm announcing to you, it's not God's will for you to stay in the pit. It's not God's will. That's not God's way. It's not God's word. As a matter of fact, I can show you, I don't have this in here, but I can show you in 1 Peter 5, that whatever your pit or your rut is, or whatever you're going through storm, it's not for a lifetime. It's to be considered temporary. You got to have a temporary mindset about it, that this is going away. I'm going to receive victory. I'm going to overcome because my overcomer said so. Not because I feel like it or it looks like it with human eyes. And so whether it's been weeks, months, or years, it's not God's will for you to stay there. This is what grace, this is why we preach grace. It's not by earning it, it's not by deserving it, it's by receiving it. But breakthrough comes because of Jesus. Breakthrough days come. There are breakthrough seasons. There's breakthrough harvest that comes. And so one of the things I've got to say is this. Hey, dare to grab a hold of Jesus and saturate yourself in the Word and do something different. If you're going to stay right where you are and you have the same approach, same pattern, same routine, you're not going to get better. Let me announce, you're going to get worse. Because that's the way that happens. You got to do something different. I'm challenging you to change your approach to God. One of the best ways to do that is to quit blaming somebody else for your problems. You say, well, Brother Tim, it's those people out there, and it's this bunch over here, and it's what was done for me back then. Well, listen, I hate what's been done to you. I hate the hurt and the pain. We've got trophies of grace here that if you knew their testimony would tell testimonies that would break your heart, them telling their story. What we tell people to do is that we don't need to dwell on our past story. You can mention it just to identify, but we tell people hurry up and get to the good part, and that's what Jesus has done and what Jesus wants to do. And so our testimony is to be His story. Our story, His story. And so, but listen, one of the most important things is to quit blaming somebody else for where you are. Yeah, well, Brother Tim, I'm a victim. It's what's been done for me. Wait, I'm telling you something. You may not have committed the sin that ended up putting you in bondage. It can come from other people. Hurt people hurt people. But I'm announcing something to you. You, my friend, are responsible for how you respond to it. I had a guy that worked with a few years ago, and man, great athlete, and boy, his life had become such a mess, and it's easy to get there. We don't throw Bibles at people that are in a mess, but he was at the place. I mean, an amazing guy, educated, great athlete. A lot of things could have been going for him, but he had reverted to the place, because that's what blockages will do. They will bind you up. He was at the place where he couldn't leave his home. He was at the place as a grown man. He was living with his parents. Couldn't leave his home. Couldn't work. Couldn't function. There was physical problems of all kinds that doctors couldn't put the signal on. And I want to tell you something. It's like his body was fighting his body. Now, let me just say this to you. If you're walking in guilt and condemnation, there's a way for your soul to hear that over and over and over again till it becomes convinced to follow your lead. And it starts punishing you. Your body turns against yourself, because what you're saying is victim and punishment and condemnation and guilt. And so I'm announcing to you, he was in a mess. Now, wasn't immediate. He got some immediate relief. But, you know, sometimes it takes a journey. Hey, listen, it's okay if you're on a healing journey. It's okay if it's progressive healing. We celebrate progress. The Lord does some things immediately, does some things progressively. Either way, it's Jesus. He gets the honor and glory. But I want to tell you, it's important to walk out your healing, to walk out with the Lord, what he's saying and what he's doing in your life. You can't just stay there. If he'd have stayed in the same pattern doing the same thing, he'd still be there, only worse. But I want to tell you, he grabbed hold of Jesus. He grabbed hold of the Word. And I want to tell you, over a period of months, actually we worked with him about a year, right? And over a year's time, I want to tell you, he owns his own business right now. Hey, he's doing great. And man, he continues to contact us to give praise and thanksgiving. And I want to tell you, but one of the hang-ups that he had was this. My parents were bad examples. My parents didn't teach me. And so I had the joy of telling truth. And I want to tell you, truth, it doesn't always make you smile. It doesn't always give you a Holy Ghost bump. But if I don't tell you the truth, you don't have an opportunity to respond to the truth. You got to hear the truth to have an opportunity to respond to it. Now, you can flush it if you want to. That's between you and God. But it came out something like this. It's not your parents' responsibility. It's your responsibility to respond right. You have a response ability right now to stop blaming your parents and take responsibility for where you are and where you're not. He said, now, Papa T, I grew up under that. I said, do you have a Bible? He said, yes, I do. I said, are you saved? Yes, I am. You have the Holy Spirit in you? Yes, I do. So you have the Holy Spirit in the Bible, and you have salvation. You have everything that you need to walk with God. And so you cannot drag the luggage, or whoever hurt you or wounded you, or your past, into your future. There's got to be a time of coming to Jesus and getting free from what binds you, the stronghold. So quit blaming everybody else. You're responsible for how you respond. Well, what do I do? Repent. And repent means change your mind. This is where I've parked. This is where I've been. I'm not getting better. I'm getting worse. I'm going to repent. I'm going to change direction. I'm going to change my mind, and I'm going to go God's way from here on out. And you know what? It may not all happen immediately, but God, the more you walk with the Lord, the freer you get. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it can be. I know there are Christians that settle at a certain place. And if you've settled at a certain place, it ought to be obvious by now. Seek forgiveness. Seek mercy. Seek forgiveness. You know what? There's people that you need to forgive in your life. You're not going to have the forgiveness to forgive them until you walk in the forgiveness that Jesus has given you. We forgive others based on his forgiveness, not on our human forgiveness. Runs out that quick. God's forgiveness is deep and wide. And I want to tell you, it's the same thing. You're able to forgive others. And when you forgive, guess what? You can receive. I want to tell you, that removes blockage. Now, your blockage may have shown up in different ways. That's okay. But the answer is still the same. It's still Jesus. And so, no more condemnation. Now, what happens with condemnation is this: it's a sense of failure. And I want to tell you, how many times do you hear the whisper of the enemy to you? And you may lie about it, but it may come to you like this: you're just not good enough. You know what? You failed too many times. You failed too many ways. I want to tell you, you're looking at someone that's never done anything perfect. I've never done anything perfect. Played a lot of football, never played a perfect game. A lot of things in ministry I've seen the Lord touch, but I've never had a perfect day. But I want to tell you something. The one that is perfect still dwells within you. You're not perfect, but you're forgiven. That makes a difference, because you know what that means? We don't have to strive anymore. The world says more self-effort, try harder. That's the world message, because that's all they know. It's self-effort. In ball, those of you who played ball, you've probably heard this. Hard work pays off. Hard work pays off. Hard work pays off. Now, there's a human wisdom to that. But I want to tell you, our kingdom's not like the world kingdom. There's some things that God taught me through ball, but there's a number of things that I had to unlearn. And one of the ways is hard work pays off. Well, I want to tell you something. There's no room in the kingdom of God for laziness. I've got to say this. Too many people have a lazy approach to God. A lazy approach to God. Well, God knows where I live. If he wants to give me a miracle, he'll find me. Well, I want to tell you something, what Bible says. You're wrong. I want to tell you what Bible says. It says to seek. Ask, seek, find. A-S-K. Ask, seek, knock. It says to keep on asking. That's the language. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking until you see him, until you receive. That makes a difference. And so what happens if we settle on self-effort in the Christian walk? It doesn't work. That's what we ends up in burnout. That's why that there's so many Christians that start out their journey in church, and you find them all in the marketplace, all in their neighborhoods. They used to go to church. I can tell you the story. I've heard it so many times. Well, at one time, I was an active churchgoer, but I just don't not able to do that anymore. I just don't see any need for it. I'm just doing okay. Just eat, drink, and be merry till you go to heaven, right? I mean, that's kind of the thing. There's a whole lot more. They're missing out on so much. They're settling for less than God's best. And there's so much more that God has for us than that. And so what happens if we just continue to strive in self-effort? We burn out. You know what? You don't get freer. Your backpack gets heavier. And so there's a grace way of operating. Let me announce a few things. Jesus died for you and me so that we could have freedom, receive freedom from our burdens, from condemnation, from the lack of result from self-effort. Self-effort by itself doesn't work in the kingdom of God. It doesn't work in church life. It doesn't work in your personal walk with God. Because self-effort, you're relying on your self-righteousness, and it's filthy. Your self-righteousness is never enough. It's by his righteousness. We have the gift of his rightness. And when we learn to rest in his rightness and not ours, it's by his report card that we walk in victory, not by ours. Somebody say amen to that. And so the way of the world is results focused. The way of the kingdom is Jesus focused. See, there's a difference between working to make it happen, or working to try to get God to do something, or working to try to be good enough to receive, versus being vine connected. Being Jesus focused, Jesus connected. When you're intimate, love life connected with Jesus, the life of the kingdom of God is the result. The fruit of the kingdom of God are the result. Now, guilt and condemnation, I know, because we deal with church leadership in different places under different tags and titles. And the reason I use leadership or pastors as an example, if it can happen to a pastor, it can happen to you. But the guilt and condemnation for condemnation, it comes from not being good enough, from failure and self-effort. Hey, it's a burden. It's a burden. It's a burden that comes from self-effort. These things can make the strong and mature believers feel crushed. That's why that you've known people, maybe earlier in life, that were amazing in the Lord, and now they're not. They don't have it. They don't walk in it. It's not admitted or confessed often, but yet too many precious sheep stumble under the weight of self-effort. The kingdom of God is opposite than the world's way. Here's the way of the kingdom of God. It's Colossians 2:6. It's there in your notes. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus. See, it's by grace through faith that you received Christ. It's not by your self-effort. It's not anything you did to get it, to get salvation. You know what you did? You received it. It's a gift of salvation. By grace through faith. And so this is saying the same way that you received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk. Now to walk means to live. We're to regulate our lives and conduct ourselves in union with and conformity to Him in the same way that we received Christ. How did you receive Christ? As a gift by grace through faith. You received it. You know how do you walk with the Lord? The same grace that you received by grace through faith to get saved is the same grace, the way that you receive grace to walk in Him. By grace through faith. You receive it. You're not achieving it. You're receiving it. There's a big difference in that. Boy, if we could catch that. And so what we do is we walk in connection communication. See, He wants connection with you. The way that you get the fruit of the kingdom of God in your life, how that you walk in peace, joy, and love, and hope, is by being connected to Him. It's communication with Him. It's love life with Him. He's given you a life coach that stays with you 24/7. And your life coach is called the Holy Spirit. And He's just like Jesus. Jesus said, I'm sending you one just like me. And it's the Holy Spirit, and He's your life coach, and He's promised that He would never leave you nor forsake you. The problem is a lot of people are not connected to their coach. A big problem is a lot of people don't listen to their coach. They're not letting their coach coach. Because they're committed to doing it their way. Well, how's that worked out for you? Not very good. Because that's what happens when Jesus is not the center. And we're not being connected. We're saved by grace. We live daily by His grace. Boy, that needs to be preached. Because Jesus is your right now, today favor. His worthiness qualifies you to receive. Not your works. His works on the cross qualifies you to receive. Boy, that's great news. Catch that and somebody will shout. See Jesus and His heart, because He's, and I'm going to show you this in Scripture. This is His heartbeat. He reveals His unconditional love in action for Peter. And remember this, God's no respecter of persons. Amen. That's right. He didn't love Peter more than He loves you. He loves you. And so let's take a look at this. Are you ready? Yeah, we got plenty of time. Luke chapter 5. Verse 1, now it occurred while the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the message of God. He was standing by the lake, the Sea of Galilee. And so what was happening here, just to explain to you, is that Jesus is on the beach, having the beach ministry. We do this with the teens every Wednesday night. We have the beach ministry. But He had the beach ministry going. He's there on the beach and people are coming and they're so excited about His message and hearing and recognizing the Lord that they keep creating a new front row every few minutes. They create a new front row and He's backed up. Now we'll know when people are excited about the Word when they don't come in and I'm not picking at y'all on the back row. But they don't come in and grab the back row first. They grab the front row first. I saw this happen when the Irwins were here. The front rows showed up first. And I said, day's coming. When we're more excited about the Word than we are the comfort of where we're sitting. And we're so excited. Hey, you do it at concerts. You want the front row. Hey, I'm telling you, get under the spout where the glory comes out. And so, you know, it may say something, but I'm telling you, they kept creating a front row. So Jesus, He saw two boats drawn by the lake. Do you see this? Verse 2, drawn up by the lake, but the fishermen had gone down from them and were washing their nets. That's because they fished at night. They fished at night, they restored or repaired their nets in the morning, and they went to take a nap in the afternoon and fish again all night. That's when they fished, was at night. Why? Because the fish were closer to the surface. Their eyes are 20 times more sensitive to light than yours are. And so if you think the bright sun is something to you, well, if you were a fish, you'd get away from the bright sun. So what happens when the sun comes out bright like that? They go deep. And so the nets couldn't reach, you understand, so they fished at night. And so here they are. The fishermen, the boats are there on the shore. Fishermen are repairing and washing their nets. And Jesus saw this, and he got into one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon Peter, and he requested him to draw away a little from the shore. And then he sat down, and he continued to teach the crowd of people from the boat. Now, those of you guys that live on the lake, you understand what's happening here, because isn't it amazing? On the lake, how people across the lake can be talking, and you can hear what they say. Voice over water amplifies. And it's quite amazing. Jesus took advantage of that. He turned on the sound system. And he pulled out into the water. And he's speaking over the water where everybody could hear. And that way they wouldn't create a new front row, by the way. And so here he goes. Getting into one of the boats that belonged to Simon Peter, he requested him to draw out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and continued to teach. Every now and then I sat down to teach. And somebody said, well, that's not scriptural. Well, Jesus did it. If Jesus did it, it's okay for Tim to do it. If Jesus sat down to teach, it's okay for you to do it. Don't get over a method. Don't get all crossed over a method. Okay. He sat down and continued to teach the crowd of people from the boat. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon Peter, put out in the deep water, lower your nets for a haul. And Simon Peter answered him, Master. Now it's good he recognized him as Master. He recognized him as something he was not. There's a little problem with that. Some people have a wrong view of Jesus. When you recognize him, you listen to him, even if you don't understand what's being said. Okay. Master, we toiled all night exhaustingly. Let's all say that word. Exhaustingly. See, this is what self-effort does. You get flat wore out. And what's even worse about trying your best and nothing happening, no results, that hurts. You know, when you give it everything you got, and at least you score a touchdown, there's something there. But when you give it everything you got, and you lose yardage, that hurts. Yeah. Now look, you know what I'm talking about. You live in this world where you've given it your best and it's not enough. You have actually a fear of failure, a fear of not measuring up. That's what self-effort does for us. So, Master, please understand this. We're exhausted. And we caught nothing. We fished all night and caught nothing. It's not a good day to fish. It's not a good time to fish. The sun's up now. But on the ground of your word, because of your words, I'll lower the nets again. Now look, what I'm fixing to share with you does not change the message one bit. I just want to point something out to you. Don't get disturbed over it. Don't stumble over it. It's just a thought, okay? And so don't get upset about it, but I wanted to just share this with you. This is in the Darby version, the King James version, and the Young's Literal Translation. The Darby version, they all say the same. It goes like this. When he had ceased speaking, this is verse 4. We already read it. I'm reading it to you out of a different version. He said to Simon, draw out into the deep water and let down your nets for a haul. Somebody say nets, plural. Okay, and Simon answering said to him, Master, having labored through the whole night, we've taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net. Singular. Isn't that interesting? Nets versus net. Now I want to tell you, like I said, it doesn't change the message. Let me get into a little Tim talk here. I have to say Tim talk because I can't clarify. I've looked back at the original. I can't really clarify this. But I just want to say, at least three versions that I know of say this is the way it was. So if it was, we do that. We ought to recognize this. Because I want to tell you something. If Jesus said, let down the nets. Now I want to tell you, Peter had a team of fishermen with. They were in business together. He, brother, family. They were in business together. They had more than one boat. If he really accepted Jesus for all that he said and believed big, how big Jesus was, if he recognized how big Jesus was, he'd say, wait, master, this is great news. Hey, guys, bring our boats out. Get the nets ready because Jesus said, we're going to bring in a haul. That means an overflow blessing. Did he do that? No. You know what he did? He let down the net. Now I want to tell you, we do that. We're supposed to believe big. I want to tell you, I see a problem in families, in individuals, in churches, in the kingdom, and it goes like this. We don't see God big like he really is. Oh, you have little faith. You know what it is? We view God small. Because the reason I know that is because we believe small. We talk small. We talk negative. I want to tell you, hey, God made it clear. When the spies came back from the promised land and they were given a negative report, God called it an evil report. And so get off the negative and get on the positive. See God big. And when you see God big, you'll believe big. We hinder the word of God with self-effort and small thinking. Man, that needs to be soaked in a little bit. Psalm 78:41 says this in the King James. Yea, they turned back and they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. How do you limit God? With small thinking. How do you limit God? With self-effort. Lord, we got this. We got this. We'll do this. We can handle this. Well, maybe God has more in mind than your little small thinking. Maybe we got nearsightedness of faith. And when they had done this, verse 6, they caught a great number of fish as their nets were at the point of breaking. Now, boy, this is beautiful to me. Now, every now and then I preach in different places, and that's okay. I love them. I don't go in to try to disrupt anything. I go in under the authority of the local pastor, and I minister as he wants me to. And I present the same message, Jesus. But I want to tell you, it goes something like this. I have people every now and then that question miracles. Oh, you're going to question a miracle? Well, you need to just see God is big. Well, I just don't quite understand how this could happen. Well, let me tell you something. I got a couple viewpoints I'm going to share with you. And it goes like this. Now listen, this comes from meditating on the word. I was not there. Every now and then the teens will say, what was it like? And I say, well, I really wasn't there. I'm not that old. Okay, but I'm going to just share this with you from meditating on the word. Couple opportunities here. I want to tell you, Jesus is the creator. He created the fish. He can whisper to the fish, come jump in this net. And I want to tell you something about the creation. Obeys the creator. Not like humans. Fish obey Jesus. And so, man, I tell you, Jesus whispered that. Fish, come jump in this net. You're going to get to bring God honor and glory. Man, fish from all over the Sea of Galilee came rushing to that net and jumping in there. And everybody wanted to be a part of bringing God honor and glory. Boy, that sounds like a good example. And I want to tell you, so much so that the net was breaking and the two boats were about to sink. I want to tell you, God stepped into their life, into this business, and gave them a boat sinking, net breaking blessing. He can do that. Now, I'm just going to tell you real quick, there were no unclean fish in that net. I can tell you that, even though it wasn't there. I can tell you this because God doesn't give bad blessing. He gives good blessing. And so every fish in that net, they didn't have to scull. They didn't have to throw away. I want to tell you, every one of them was clean fish, big fish, the best fish they'd ever caught. Because fish obey Jesus. Now look, you say, well, I don't know about that. Okay, well, let me give you another one. Because this is the way God operates too. You know what? The fish could have come right out of heaven. Oh, Brother Tim. No. We live and operate out of the riches of his glory. You say, well, that's stretching it a little bit, fish coming out of heaven into the net. Really, where do you think the wine came from? How about the wine? It was just water. But I want to tell you what it was. It was the best wine that those humans had ever tasted. And I'm just going to tell you why, because I believe it came right out of heaven. They'd received just a taste of what the fullness of God can be in our life. I'm telling you, it's not plain water that God gives. It's invigorating life. And that's what he has for you. It's what he has for your marriage, what he has for your business. This is the way God operates. You say, well, I don't know about God talking to the fish. Well, I'll give you a Bible example. You want a Bible example? Okay, how about Jonah? You see, because I'm telling you, God gave Jonah a word, and like a lot of Christians, boy, we ought to identify. I'm telling you, like a lot of Christians, we say, no, that's inconvenient. I'm not real comfortable with that, to go to Nineveh, my enemies, and preach the word of God. I'd just rather not. I don't feel led. Well, I've heard it all. It's not in my schedule. I'm just not comfortable. And so he gets on a boat to go to Tarsus, the opposite way of where God told him to do. Storm comes, supernatural storm with a specific purpose for God's man. Now what's really sad is that these professional sailors were so disturbed by this storm because it wasn't a regular storm. Now I want to tell you, you say, well, there's a storm in my life. Well, I want to tell you, you may not think so much of it. It may just be the peace, the calm before the storm coming. Now, I want to tell you, Jonah brought the storm. We reap what we sow. And I want to tell you, whenever you turn away from, to walk away from the Lord, you invite storms to come. You invite storms to come to other people in your life. These sailors thought they were dead. And so they began to do a little quiz here. Who's responsible for this? This is supernatural. And Jonah was honest. You see, you can't go anywhere until you get honest. Jonah got honest and said, it's me. They said, who are you? I'm a man of God. I'm from the people of God. God gave me a message, gave me a direction, and I didn't do it. And so they appealed to the Lord. Lord, don't hold this against us. We got to throw this guy over. And Jonah told him, if you'll throw me over, the calm will start. See, he knew. He knows God. How is it that we know God and we still go the wrong way? That's what deceived people do. Well, I want to tell you, they threw him off, and sure enough, when he hit the water, the storm stopped. But according to the Bible, God prepared a fish. Don't get in any arguments. I want to tell you, when God prepares a fish as a submarine to hold a backslidden preacher, for 3 days, 3 nights, God can do what he wants to do. I'm announcing to you, don't limit God. God is so amazing, he can develop a fish and prepare a fish big enough to swallow this whole church, to keep it in the belly of the fish for 3 days, 3 nights if he wants to. And I want to tell you, now this is Tim talk, but I got to say this. I think it kind of went like this. Fish, yes, Lord, I want you to follow that ship and I want you to swallow everything they throw off. Yes, Lord, you're my Lord. I'll do what you say. Fish swallows the ship, starts swallowing everything. And a little bit later, he says, Lord, yes, fish, that last thing I swallowed, it really made me sick at my stomach. Fish, I'm not surprised because I would rather my people be hot or cold. Lukewarm makes me want to vomit them out. I'm sorry, that's what Bible says. Let me be a little more sensitive. Wants me to eject them. And so the Lord speaks to the fish. After 3 days, 3 nights, guess what happened? Jonah repents. He changes his mind. After being in the belly for 3 days, 3 nights, he says, I think God's way is a better way. How long do we have to stay in the fish? When? See, heaven wants to know when. Why not? How come? Because God's ready. God's grace is available. He's paid the price for you. And so, finally, God's man says, I repent. I changed my mind. I want your way, God. I'm willing to go your way instead of my way. And so the God tells the fish, go over here to this land and eject. How was it? Eject Jonah. And he did. And so Jonah hits the ground. Now listen, this is a little Tim talk here. But it goes like this. Jonah hit the ground running. He didn't have to pray about it. He didn't have to think about it. He didn't have to ask counsel about it. He headed directly toward Nineveh. And he was double timing. And I just kind of picture he's running along here, and there's a little woman gathering water at the well, and she recognizes, oh, Prophet Jonah, Prophet Jonah, yeah. Hey, we got a little missionary auxiliary meeting tonight, a little women's meeting. Do you want to come? I don't have time. We're cooking. What are you having tonight? Fish! No! I'm out of here. I'm going directly to Nineveh. I will not pass go or collect $200. I'm going to do what God said. Now, I want to tell you, I don't know what you think about this, but Jonah's in the belly of the fish for 3 days, 3 nights. His skin is completely white by the acid in the fish's belly. He's ejected, and he's got seaweed wrapped around his head and hanging off his ear. And so here's this white, ghostly white guy walking into your city with seaweed hanging off, looking like, you know. And he says, repent! What would you do? Yeah. Well, I want to tell you, one of the greatest miracles of revival took place that day. One of the largest cities in the world came to God, from the least to the greatest of them. It's a great thing. But it took God longer. Would you get this? It took God longer to get his man to submit and say yes than it did for the largest city in the world at that time to come to God. Well, I'm telling you, that speaks. You got a couple more minutes? So, they signal to their partners, verse 7. God talks to the fish, and the fish obey. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and take hold with him, and they came and filled both the boats, and so they began to sink. And listen, I want to tell you, this was an amazing miracle. And the same Jesus that gave right now favor to Peter and to his business can give right now favor to you and your family. Now, I want to tell you, the next two verses I'm going to read have more impact than the miracle. You say the harvest is the greatest miracle. No, it's not. That's a blessing. But I want to tell you something. There's a difference between a blessed day and a blessed life. Do you want to see that? Well, I want to tell you these next two verses describe that Peter, by saying yes to Jesus on the boat, received he gave him a today yes. It's important for you to give a today yes every day to Jesus. Be a receiver. See, it's humbling yourself. It's not your way, it's God's way. But I want to tell you, what we see in 8 and 9 is a submission and a surrender to the Lord. Well, Peter humbles himself to a forever yes. And the forever yes is a difference between the daily yes. Daily yes, he got a blessing. The forever yes, he became a harvester of men. He received a blessed life. This is the way to a blessed life. Some of you just want a miracle. Just do a miracle and let me go on my way. Let me do my own thing. I know because I hear it. My way, my way, my way. No, 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 no. Hey, Peter caught it and he said, your way, a forever yes. Let's look at it. Are you ready? But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. He repented. He knew that he was in the presence of a mighty God. I know that because of what verse 9 says. He was gripped with bewildering amazement. Somebody say he was awestruck. Now say this, of Christ's awesomeness. He was awestruck at Christ's awesomeness. And I want to tell you, all who were with him, the whole fishing crew, were also at the haul of fish which they had made, because they knew this was God. And I want to tell you, how long has it been since you've been awestruck at the awesomeness of God? Because I want to tell you, one of the reasons why Christians kind of play games with God and go their way and only seek God for a rescue and then let me get back to my regular life is because you've never seen the holiness of God. We need to see the holiness of God, the awesomeness of God. And if it comes from Master, help me, to Lord, I'm yours. Do you see a difference between a blessed day and a blessed life? This is the way to a blessed life. Do you want a temporary help or do you want a life of blessing? I want to tell you, they looked past the miracle. The miracle was just a platform to see the God that had passion for them, the God that would release his power for them, the Lord that would be present for them. You know what? That's grace. That's grace, friend. How beautiful is your Savior? Jesus sees our striving and exhaustion that are a result of self-effort. And the Lord's, listen. When you surrender that junk, that backpack, that load to the Lord, I want to tell you, His loving kindness is way more than anything than you can imagine. The expression, and that's what a miracle is the expression of loving kindness. It's the Lord demonstrating His love. And the loving kindness that He had for Peter and his crew was way more than they could imagine. Now, hey, I'm going to back this up because this has got to be said. You understand that at the onset of this, Peter had the opportunity to say no to Jesus. He could have told him, "It's my boat. Stay on the shore. Stay on the shore. It's my boat. I ain't got time." That's what I hear from people. I ain't got time. I'm not through with my way yet. How much hotter does the flame need to get? How much stronger does the storm need to get? How more miserable do you need to get before we surrender to the Prince of Peace? He wants peace for you, not storm. Peter had the choice to say, "No, I got this. Wait a minute, preacher. You do the preaching, I'll do the fishing." Yeah. No, we hear that. I'm in charge of me. It's my life. Do what I want to. Yeah. That's the definition for misery. Peter made the choice to receive Jesus at His word. We have that choice every day. You see, it can't be your way in the word. I want to tell you, self-centeredness will pollute any promise of God. Man, that's big. He said yes to Jesus. Grab this, because I'm finishing up. He said yes to Jesus despite the fact that his circumstances said no. The professionals of that day would have said, "No, Peter. You stupid old. No way. It don't work this way. The sun's out bright. All night. It's not a good fishing time. Don't do this. Your circumstances say no. And by the way, your experience says no." Now, boy, this is where it gets people too, you know. "Well, in my experience..." Well, what is your experience compared to God? Were you there when He created the stars? Were you there when He named them? Were you there when He created the earth? Were you there when He created... I'm just announcing to you, His ways are bigger than your ways. And so don't you dare say, "By my experience..." No, wait, there's something even more than that. You ready? Because I want to tell you, we worship education. Nothing wrong with education. But when you put education over God, when you put your education over God's wisdom, you make yourself a fool. Hey, He could have said, "With all my years of knowledge, this ain't going to work." He could have said, "If I can't understand it, I ain't going to do it." Now, wait a minute. You think heaven don't hear that? Heaven does. I'm just going to say this to you real quick. Don't count this on the time. It goes like this. This Bible's not written to your brain. I want to tell you, in order to walk with God, sometimes you got to lay your brain down. I want to tell you, this Bible was not written to your brain. It was written to your heart. Yeah. This is a word to the heart. The Bible is written to your heart. And you got to respond with your heart and tell your brain to get in line. Yeah. Don't you dare say to God, well, if I can't understand it, I'm not going to apply it. Really? You know, you're going to miss out. Because I want to tell you what you do. You obey God. Hey, you say yes to God. Even if your experience and your knowledge and all that says, no, it ain't going to happen. Even if everybody else says, no, it ain't going to happen. It's time for you to believe God. It's okay to believe God. You know what God's looking for? Somebody that'll believe. Information's important. We don't belittle information. We don't throw Bibles at education. But I want to tell you something. You got to respond with your heart. You try to come to God with your education and your brain, it's considered self-righteousness. You come to God with your heart in surrender, humbling yourself in dependence of Him. Hey, listen. Recognize that you're so loved by Jesus. He's got compassion for tiredness. He's got compassion for weariness. He's got compassion for frustration. He wants to set us free from the bondage that a lifetime of self-effort brings. Yeah. The finished works of Jesus are more than enough to set you free to what the Bible says, to a new living way. Grace is spelled J-E-S-U-S, personified. It's got to be personal. And that's what He wants for you today. I got to stop right there. Let's do this. Let's pray. And let's seek the Lord. There are people that are watching online. And man, we love you so much. And yes, there will be a part two to this. But you know what? You've heard enough today. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? More important than what this preacher's tried to say, what is God saying to you? Because whatever God says, that's the word you need to be on. That's the word you need to stand on. That's the word that'll set you free. He says that He has sent His word to heal. What is He saying to you? There's no better day, no better way than to repent. And it means to change your mind. Instead of doing your way, do His way. You've tried your way. It's time to be all in and to surrender 100% to His new living way. It's new because it's fresh every day. It's living because He ministers life to you. Hey, listen, all the junk that you're seeing and experiencing is a manifestation of death. That's not life. That's death. Jesus came to give you abundant living. Salvation, Zoe life, sozo, everlasting life that manifests in all kinds of ways. Overabundant living, cup running over. That's a blessed life that He paid for. Same grace to save you, same grace to cause you to live in a new living way. That's the Lord. Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to submit? Lord Jesus, we love You so much. Lord, we just declare, You are Lord. Father, thank You that You sent Jesus to reveal Yourself. I just pray in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, come. Give us a personal picture of the awesomeness of our Savior. We declare that our eyes and our ears to be open to see You as You really are. That we might be awestruck at Your awesomeness. And Lord, we give You praise. So be it. Lord Jesus, I pray for an encounter with a personal Jesus for each one that's listening. Lord Jesus, thank You that just with Peter and his friends, You love to show Yourself mighty in our behalf. Thank You, Lord Jesus. And all the people said, amen, amen and amen. Let's give